When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Red. Was Chris Cross like their rival?
Nah.
Chris Cross was like...
Nah, BBD brought them out.
I know, but I'm saying Chris Cross was like the rival, right?
They were a little bit before them. They were supposed to be the next new addition.
I know. I'm well aware. I'm just saying then Chris Cross came out and started like diss track. They did a diss track on them, which is hilarious.
They did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris Cross will make you jump. Uh-huh.
Anyways.
Oh, man. A police officer tased a little kid with autism? Come on, son. Come on, B. We got to be better.
Well, you made a mistake. I guess he...
But still, it was a kid, though. It's a teenager. A little kid.
Well,
that kid like he was like 12 years old.
Have you seen what some 12-year-old kids are doing?
Yeah, man.
Not all. I'm just saying.
But just because you...
And if you...
Just because you slow as hell, you got to earn that. You got to catch him. You can't catch a 12-year-old.
It was a taser. It was probably right in front of him.
That's what I'm saying. No. The kid had jumped the gate, and he shot him before. Like
you got all that out of a bottom third headline.
No, I saw him. Like you know how slow you got to be not to be able to catch a 12-year-old. It's like McLovin. He's the fastest kid in the world. Like, come on, man.
I still say
if a 12-year-old runs,
requirements for the job.
And don't give me the mile because a lot of fat people can run a mile. I don't mean you ain't gonna be jogging and chasing somebody for a mile. I need your acceleration.
Yeah,
we need to do a 200-yard relay.
There has to be benchmarks. There has to be. But anyway, that's a whole other channel. It's hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, the number. And we'll get back to your calls. We just, like I said, we're just going buffet as we've been doing these days.
Ant, you got one? Ask Ant, he got one.
Oh, Anthony Pusick, producer.
Yeah, Ant looked like
doesn't know what he just walked into, but let's do it anyway. Yeah, get him on the mic.
Yeah, Ant looked like he was like giving girls like roses and stuff like that, Valentine's Day and all that, Be My Valentine.
So, Anthony, I don't know if you know the song Benita Applebaum by Tribe Called Quest. You do. He's nodding his head. He's from Brooklyn. He knows these things. Okay.
I worked a show for a while, remember?
That is a good point. You did play a lot of the music for us. So we're asking everybody, like, did you have a Benita Applebaum? Because as the story goes, Q-Tip wrote it about a girl he knew in school that he just absolutely was in love with, and her name was Benita. So Jake claims that he had one in pre-K, which there's a level of creepy to that I don't want to get into. But we're asking you, did you have one?
Yeah, probably like grade school.
What's her name?
Grade school. What was her name?
I don't remember now.
Everybody remembers.
Man, it wasn't memorable.
Then she really, she couldn't have been that good.
I went Billie Jean Shaw. I went Chris China Oles. Kimberly, don't remember her last name. Mm. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a few, dog.
Yeah.
And you never like, just like Drake. Drake has, who's Drake's girl that he always talk about? You can Google that, man. He writes songs about it. He talks about it in high school,
Drake talks about like 10 to 15 different girls. Like, it's kind of hard to
keep
up.
No, I'm not talking about
Mariah. Who's the girl that Drake talks about?
He got one in high school that he talks about. They actually showed her before, and they actually met up with each other. She's light-skinned.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay,
I'll find it. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the calls.
But
you guys disappoint me.
Well, let's go to the
conversation. You don't remember. That's because you don't want your chicks to find out. Listen, it's past the statute of limitations, man. It's okay to have an old school crush.
I think it's all right. Yeah, I do think it's okay. Bill Belichick having another interview with the Falcons, by the way.
I told you, Cowboys
now out of the
That's a good roster.
Off the market.
Man. That's a good roster.
It'd be interesting.
I'm surprised the Commanders hasn't called him.
Who's interviewing whom there though? Like, what are they asking Bill Belichick?
Well, this him and Arthur Blank. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, what our roster look like? What would you need to be successful?
Yeah.
How would you go about who would be your coaching staff?
I've got more questions for you about things here, right? Like, wouldn't that, yeah?
Him and Arthur Blank from the same cloth. You know what I mean? They both OGs. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. But, like, Sal Palantonio was on with us, Tuesday, right? Yeah. He was on with us Tuesday. And when we were talking about the first interview, Sal Pal made it pretty clear. It's who's interviewing whom here.
Right.
The wackiest thing that I've seen in the last couple of days is the Atlanta Falcons interviewed Bill Belichick. The headline should say Bill Belichick interviewed the Atlanta Falcons.
So
I mean, I'm not making fun of it, but, you know, come on. Oh, really? I mean, if you're Rich McKay and Arthur Blank, you sit in the room and you say, well, Bill, explain to us when you were under stress in one particular instance and how you learned from that. Well, how about when I was down 28-3 and you in the Super Bowl came back and smoked you?
Mm-hmm. See? So that's the conversation that they're having there. So we'll see.
Yeah, that was Tom Brady that smoked us.
Meanwhile,
not you.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that get ugly? But how about let's talk about another coach, and that's Tom Thibodeau. Yesterday was his 66th birthday. Does he look 66 to you? You don't think like the fact that his hair isn't gray?
His hair is like Charlie Brown, man.
It's amazing.
It's like the comb over. It's like five strong hairs like weaved together.
No, you didn't have to do all that. but yes, okay. But he's done all right. I'll be biased when I say I think he's done a tremendous job. He's the best coach they've had since Jeff Van Gundy.
Okay.
The most successful coach they have had since Jeff Van Gundy. That's all fact.
That's true.
But still a lot of Knicks fans are Knicks fans won't embrace this guy. But they are right now.
He's like the Julius Randle of the coaching staff.
Right, maybe. But they are on a 48-win pace at the midpoint of the season. And the Vegas had them at 45.5, I believe, for the over-under. So right now they're on pace to hit the over. And really, if you think about some of the losses they've had, you're like, you know, there's a couple of rebounds away from being on a 50-win pace. Okay. So he's got another year left in his contract, and then they've got to make a decision. And you never really although Dallas is doing it with the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy, but you really don't let a coach go into his final year without an extension. You either extend him or you move on. Very rare that he coaches out the last year.
Yeah, no lame ducks. They always want.
Yeah, you don't want that. You want the uncertainty of it. So, when do the Knicks start to talk about this? And should it be during the season or should it be at the end of the year? It's going to have to be at some point this summer. But should they wait? Or should they?
Yeah.
You know, does he deserve an extension? I think is the question I'm asking, and I think it's a silly question to ask when you consider his record. The Knicks record.
But it could go bad.
It could. But where are they right now? What do you mean it could go bad? Do they look like a team that's on the verge of collapsing?
I mean.
They're a very good basketball team, Bart. They really are.
You just never know. Like injuries and stuff.
The Houston Rockets are one of the best defensive teams in the league. They are not last year's team. Right? They are not. Last year, their 19th win of the season was in game 78.
Yeah,
this year, they already have 19 wins at midpoint of the season. So the Rockets are a better team. And Ime Udoka has made them a better defensive team. They're top 10.
So he would have been a good hire, is what you're saying.
Udoka?
Yeah.
I mean, he's done a good job there.
I'm saying for the
Brooklyn?
For Brooklyn.
Yeah, but at the time, that was a tough one. You couldn't touch that.
Yeah, it would have washed off after a year.
Well, the point I'm making about the Knicks is that there's a lot of things that we're talking about that they need, and they're still chasing the big star. But one thing we think they have is a coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. And I just think we have to reach a point to start acknowledging the fact that coaching is not an issue for this team. And you want to make sure that you continue to have your coach locked up, that this is our guy, that you maintain it. So it's definitely time to start having that conversation about when do the Knicks start discussing with Tom Thibodeau, giving him an extension. And I'm not talking about 5 years or whatever it is. I mean, for him at 66 years old,
2 years,
he'll coach forever. He'll be like Popovich. He loves to teach.
Like
he loves to coach.
Brown Jr.
He was asked. It's funny. He was asked before the game by Barbara Barker of Newsday because it was his birthday, and she said, "Is there anything you'd rather be doing today?" And he said, "No," because he loves to coach. This is his favorite thing to do. So, I think it is something that has to start to be acknowledged. Because you see so many times with fans on social media, anytime the Knicks lose, which by the way, breaking news, the Knicks aren't going 82-0. No team is going 82-0. It doesn't happen, right? So you're going to lose games. But every time they lose one, there is always a bunch of slander about the coaching decisions and what he does with the team. There's always this concern about how he's going to wear players out. And yet year after year, that doesn't really happen. One player, one time, had an injury, and that's Derrick Rose. And it was unfortunate. And that has hung over him, and that has been the biggest criticism, is that he overused him, and then he got hurt. But aside from that, everywhere he's gone, whether it's Chicago, first of all, he helped win a championship in Boston with his defense as the assistant coach next to Doc Rivers. But in Minnesota, he started in Chicago, where they had a great run. Minnesota, he took a franchise that hadn't made the playoffs in like a decade. And they got him to the playoffs. They won 48 games. And then everybody there panicked because the team started to have issues in the locker room. And instead of just making the right player adjustments and, all right, this guy can't handle the heat, we got to get rid of him, we got to move him out, they just fired everybody, which was stupid. Because then they fell right back into the doldrums that they're finally getting out of now because, again, they found themselves a really good coach and they got a really good player in Anthony Edwards. They're stable again, but they weren't for a number of years. Then he comes to the Knicks, who, by the way, were also just fumbling all over themselves for years. Coach after coach after coach. Couldn't get it right. Every 2 years, it felt like they were getting a new coach. They weren't developing players. And they couldn't get anybody to come here to play. And they were always chasing, chasing, chasing. Then they get established with this guy. And they establish a defensive mindset, an identity that is something I've always said. New York teams, defense has to be the foundation for all of them. Because that's just something about New York. Think about the Giants in their best years. It's always been about their defense, correct?
Yeah.
Right? Like with the Mets, it's always been about their pitching, which is essentially defense. The Knicks, defense. Rangers, goaltending. Like it's just, that's just always at the foundation of the best years. Think about your teams with the Jets. Defense. And people in New York love that. Yeah. That's what Tibbs brought here, right? So you have now an identity. Ask any opponent when they come to play the Knicks. And I've done it, been in those situations with opposing coaches, opposing players, where you say to them, well, what are you going to get out of the Knicks? What do you expect out of the Knicks? And they always tell you, oh, this team, a team that's going to come at you, play physical, play tough. You got to be ready for it. You know what they're bringing. That's an identity. Nobody used to say that about the Knicks before. They would talk about one or two players maybe. Or they would talk about how exciting it is to play at the Garden. But they would never talk about how, oh, you got to be ready to play these guys. They get in your face. They're tough. They hit you hard. They rebound. They make you work. They make you earn it. They don't go away. They never give up. Those are all the things that I've heard about this team. Well, who do you think gets the credit for a lot of that? Who set that standard? Who's the one that said, this is who we're going to be, and then give credit to the front office for finding the players that fit that identity,
yeah.
And it has been a process finding them. That's why the Anunoby trade made so much sense.
Right.
Here's a guy who is defense first, with some toughness and all that stuff. So, now that you have this set up, and you're on your way halfway through the season, 48-win pace, on your way to a third playoff appearance, they are in play for that, in 4 years, when do we start having that conversation to say, you got a head coach? It's time to respect it. It's time to acknowledge it. It's time to say, yeah, I think we need to give this guy an extension and make sure he's here. Because like you've always said, we've always talked about this. If you're going to fire a coach, if you're going to trade a player, it's always, who are you getting?
Yeah.
Who's it going to be? Okay, fine. You want to get rid of him because you're sick of seeing his face? They say this about Aaron Boone as well. Okay. You want to get rid of him? Who are you replacing him with? Who are you getting that's going to deliver what he's delivered in these last 4 years?
And the thing is,
you know how hard it is to do what he's done in a market like this, coming in with the understanding of it? How many guys have come in here and failed at it? They've all had great press conferences. They've all told you all the things they plan on doing. And then they all get eaten alive. You have to acknowledge what Tom Thibodeau has done with this franchise. And you have to also acknowledge what Leon Rose has done in making sure that he has gotten the players to fit what Tibbs wants to do. And also to allow him to sit a guy like Evan Fournier, who they gave $72 million to, and for the last 2 years, he has not played.
Who gave him $72 million?
Well, I'm just saying, but the front office could have forced him to play. No, you have to play him. You're going to make us look bad. No, you don't think it works for you? Fine. You're the coach. You make that decision.
When is that contract?
That's not easy to do.
When is that contract out, though? By the way,
this year.
By the way, you talk about people that fit the tribe. Did you see DeAndre DeJounte yesterday with a game winner.
Yes. Called game.
Yeah, I mean.
That was a tough game, too.
I mean, he's looking like a guy. I don't know.
But he knows he's getting traded. They're showcasing him, and they're driving the market up for him. It's going to cost more than you think. If it took 3 first-round picks to get Pascal Siakam.
No, Pascal's a champion, and I would say they're about the same as far as their star level. No?
Okay, so if it took 3 first-round picks,
yeah, but see,
what do you think it's going to cost to get Dejounte Murray when you know, remember, there was no market for Pascal Siakam. There was one team.
I'm going to say 2.
2, you're crazy.
And the reason I say 2.
Nope,
4. The reason I say 2 is because they got Brown back, who they're going to flip again and get it something big
probably,
for him.
Probably.
So, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm telling you right now, 4. I think it's going to be 4 for Murray. And the Lakers are desperate. The Nets are how desperate are the Nets getting? They just lost to the Trailblazers.
I feel bad for Chauncey. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Jacques Vaughn could be in trouble.
That's why I said Ime Udoka should have been there this year. I would have let him go and let
he
him
could
be
in
assistant.
Trouble because this team's really starting to go the other way. But I don't want to get off the topic. Do you agree or disagree with me?
No,
you're a guy that loves defense. You're a guy that understands how important coaching is.
I totally agree. And the reason why you can't get rid of him is because this team has been built to mirror his philosophy. So now, if a new coach comes in, they may not have that same philosophy. Right. So now, I think you have to see it through. Right. You talk about the winning culture and how important it was for him to change the perception of how stars and people look at the Knicks. He's done that. He's made them a professional team, a responsible team. People feel like, okay, him and Leon Rose, they work well together. They're professionals, right? And they do things the right way. That whole stereotype of what people thought they were and how dysfunctional it was, they realized that, hey, you can come here.
You
and be
noticed
successful.
That all that's gone?
Look at what happens with the Rangers. Yeah, and it took a couple years. You know, if the team was where they were today, then maybe KD and Kyrie would have chosen to come here.
Maybe, yeah.
But
everybody would want to play for him because of what he demands out of you.
Yeah, but
not everybody wants that.
Kevin, you can't scare Kevin Durant from doing anything. Mm-hmm. I think he's the guy. The person that you have to get on board would have had to be Kyrie,
who doesn't want to play. He never wants to play. See, it's for Tibbs. You got to have guys who want to play. And the one thing you say about the Knicks, like Josh Hart right now, here's an example. Everybody's killing Josh Hart right now, who had a great game last night. But I've seen a lot of Josh Hart criticism, bad contract. Right? His numbers have gone down. They overplay him. He's not that good and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then what if I told you, remember I mentioned yesterday he was on the injured list?
Mm-hmm.
What if I told you that he's dealing with a knee that is bothering him, but I'm not taking a game off kind of guy.
Yeah.
Right? Rest? No. If I'm hurt, all right, I have to sit out. But rest?
Hurt and injury,
no.
Two different things.
Like he's playing through stuff. And so you could see he doesn't have the same push off. Like it was, I think, one time in the paint, he tried to finish in the paint. He could not get off that foot. Normally, he dunks the basketball when he's that close. He barely laid it up in another situation when he was wide open under the rim. Didn't dunk it. He just laid it up because he can't get to the top floor right now with whatever's going on with his knee. But he's playing through it. Why? Because we don't take games off. Julius Randle, he won't take a game off. Brunson, I mean, it took him having a calf contusion that just affected his ability to move to take 2 games off. And then even him, he's like, he hates taking games off. You want that in today's NBA, but not every player buys into that. There are players, Kyrie's one of them, that will play a bunch of games and then just look at the coaching staff and go, I'm going to take a couple of games off here. Like, not that he's hurt. It's just, I'm a little sore. I just want to sit back. Like, it happens. And you got to live with it. But the Knicks don't have that culture. And so, as I said, that is something that you certainly nod to the players. You nod to the front office because they're the ones that brought the players in that have that mentality. But it all starts with the head coach who set that tone from the day he got the job, and that's Tom Thibodeau, and that needs to be recognized.
That is a happy birthday. You talk about, you know what I'm saying, you going out for your guy. You keeping it Rizzo. That was a soliloquy that went, what, about 25 minutes?
I don't know, did it?
Happy birthday, Tibbs. We'll be back after this. No, I'm just saying.
Well, I gave you a segment off, so you're welcome.
Oh, what's that?
You want to take a call or two?
Let's take a call.
I want to take this one.
Let's go to Doughboy.
Yeah, Doughboy in Queens disagrees with me. Go ahead, Doughboy.
Hey, how you doing, Alan? I heard everything. You happy birthday, Tibbs. Yes. I just want to know, in the big games, Tibbs get out-coached every player. Atlanta, the Knicks had a better team, he got out-coached. Miami, with the team where you were laughing at, oh, they got Kevin Love. They're not going to be able to beat us.
Doughboy, you're wrong. He didn't get out-coached. You're selective. Doughboy, selective. What you're doing is selective. No. Doughboy, you're wrong.
He
had no Mitchell Robinson in the Atlanta series at all, and they had no point guard, and Atlanta loaded up on their best player, and their best player couldn't figure it out. End of story. They were banged up at the end of that series. Now, did he out-coach the Cavs coach who had the higher seed? Did he? Say yes or no. Just yes or no is all I need. Did he out-coach? Okay, so you just said, you just told me in the playoffs, he always gets out-coached. That didn't happen. Now let's go to the Miami series, where Randall also was hurt again, where Brunson, as we learned after the fact, was hurt as well. Banged up, right? They were banged up physically. It was a physical series. You can't do that. But you can't do that. You can't say he's out-coached. He's always out-coached. That's so wrong.
Can I tell you how he out-coached me? What I say is out-coached?
What?
In the Atlanta series, what did he do to shorten his bench? He started Derrick Rose. You remember that? He started making Derrick Rose as his starting guard and took Alfred Payton. He got you here. Alfred Payton got you in the playoffs and you changed it. Then they went
You're going to tell me that a whole series was because of Alfred Payton who can't shoot?
No, you couldn't score in that series, but you were going to play Alfred Payton. That's not what happened. He switched his whole rotation, and that's what messed up the whole thing. And then
R.J. Barrett couldn't catch a ball in the corner of game one. That's not what messed up the series going down 0-1 because you couldn't catch a ball in the corner?
No, it's not. Think about the Miami series.
Not having Mitchell Robinson, that didn't have an impact on it?
Who was the better team in the Miami series between Miami and the Knicks? Because in the beginning, before they started, you was like, oh, they got Kevin Love. We don't got nothing to worry about.
Their bench played really well.
Game six, you was like, we going to get on the bus. We bringing it back to the Garden. Mm-hmm. That day, I've been waiting to call you since that day.
Well, you did. You called me, and you did get to call me, and you were wrong. So you had your opportunity to be right, and you were wrong. How did he get out-coached? His players got outplayed. And by the way, Miami went to the finals. So everybody else got out-coached too? But the out-coach thing is such a weak one. I could come up with better arguments, and I like the guy. But that's not the one. Got out-coached in the playoffs. What did he do in the first round? Did he out-coach that guy? Cleveland, higher seed. They were on their home floor, and they got embarrassed. They got booed off their home floor. Don't forget that.
They were better than Cleveland.
We got audio files coming up next. You want to come at me on tips, go right ahead. Because there's so many of you just don't understand what you have in this coach, and you need to understand what you have in this coach. It's Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. 3 weeks left until the NBA trade line, and what are the Knicks going to do? Earlier this morning on DPHR on Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said Leon Rose has got to figure out what that next move should be.
Like, what exactly do we need? Jalen Brunson is going to have to be your best player in the postseason. Like, how much do we actually want to ask him to do during the regular season? Like, there's so much pressure on him right now.
You saw when he was gone. You ask him to do a lot, though.
Right.
He's a vital cog of this team. And if he doesn't do that, then I don't know what you're accomplishing.
I get it, but it can't fall apart if he's gone or if he's not on the floor. Like, we need to know. Like, does he need help? Do we need someone else that can handle the basketball? Do we need to get bigger?
Yes.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up 3:00, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's Bart and Han.
50.
We'll get back to your calls momentarily, but you know what, Bart? Right now, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call...
Audio File.
The Audio File.
All right, let's see. A lot of coaching news all around the NFL. So Mike McCarthy is staying in Dallas. They're not making a change there. So here's what Mike McCarthy said his message to Cowboys fans is...
We have an unbelievable fan base, and they should be frustrated. We're extremely disappointed, disappointed for them, disappointed in our performance. But my message would be this: we have established a championship program. It's just not the world championship yet. We know how to win. We know how to train to win. We have the right people, but we have not crossed the threshold of winning playoff games. And it's extremely disappointing to be sitting here talking about it. But, you know, I know how to win. And we will get over that threshold. I have total confidence in it. And that's why I'm standing here today.
Knows how to win. He has won a Super Bowl. So
yeah, he riding off of that. He went into A-Rod.
Well, Adam Schefter was on Get Up. And, of course, the conversation with Adam Schefter with all his sources. So did Jerry Jones at least kind of kick the tires on some other coaches?
He did not kick the tires on those coaches, to the best of my knowledge. Now, is it possible that there's some clandestine call that I did not hear or know about? Yes, that's possible. But to the best of my abilities, Greeny, I don't believe that Jerry Jones reached out to these coaches and tested the waters and kicked the tires, however you want to call it, to see whether they would be interested in becoming the Dallas Cowboys head coach. I think he was deciding on what to do with Mike McCarthy singularly, and he made the decision that his team was better off.
And you believe this was the wrong decision, right, Bart?
I believe it's a risky one, and I think it's not a bold one. And sometimes when you want to make it to the Super Bowl or you want to try and take that next step, it has to be bold. It's not like they're coming up short and losing the AFC Championship or the division round. They can't get out the first round, and that's going against the seventh seed.
Right.
Like, this ain't even
at home.
At home. Where you're undefeated. Like, your guys are coming up small. And there was a look early on in Dak's eyes that let me know that he feels the pressure.
Really?
And you hurt. But the thing is, you heard the announcer saying it. Like, yo, something's off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's something always off when Dak, when some guys are PT players. Like, we always try and separate him from Kirk Cousins, man.
Yeah.
We always try to. They're more alike than they are different.
Yeah, well, here's McCarthy. I want to hear your reaction to McCarthy talking about Dak Prescott and that he does believe in him.
I said earlier, I believe in Dak Prescott. You know, I think he's clearly the answer. He's part of the solution moving forward. And I think you know, as difficult as this time is right now, you know, when we can, you know, work through this emotional, you know, period that we're in, you know, we'll continue to build off of, you know, what he brings to the table.
Well, what's going to be interesting is that Dak needs an extension and Mike McCarthy's going into the last year of his contract. So these are two other things now that have to be solved and settled, and that's Jerry Jones. That's probably the next move there. Meanwhile, what's settled and solved in Pittsburgh is that Mike Tomlin will be back for next season, and I believe he only has 1 year on his deal as well, right? I think that he's at the end of his contract.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin was asked if he expects to get an extension.
Yes, I expect to be back, and I would imagine that those contract things are going to run their course, man. Art and I have a really good, transparent relationship. We communicate continually, often. I don't imagine it's going to be an issue, and I imagine it's going to get done in a timely manner at the appropriate time. But, you know, my mindset is to coach this football team, certainly.
I believe, actually, that he doesn't, and they have to work that out. That's why he was asked about it. Remember, he was asked about his contract status after the loss. And remember, he famously just walked off the podium and walked out the door, never answered it.
Yeah.
So he explained that.
In a little better mood today, man. Anybody got any contract questions? I'll say this. I certainly could have handled that situation better than I did. But I'll also say this. I just believe there's a time and place for everything. And post-game press conferences are probably not the place to address contract issues and things of that nature. It's just a very individual thing. And on game day, I doubt any of us are in that mindset. Certainly I am not. What's required to do what it is that we do, the amount of focus pouring into a collective, I'm just not in that mind state, and I just don't believe that's the appropriate venue to talk about things of that nature.
Do you agree with that? Like, I feel like because of the availability of a coach and the season ended, it's a question that as a reporter you want to ask, whether you like it or not. I'm asking it. You don't have to answer it, and he chose not to.
But it's a question that you can ask me tomorrow.
But how do I know I'm going to see you tomorrow?
Well,
how do I know?
Well, get your ass to work.
And I'd also rather get you, and this is how it works from our end, Bart, I'd rather get you in the moment where you're a little bit emotional.
Because you're trying to get some type of
because
goal.
I might get a more honest answer out of you than if you have a day to think about it.
And as a professional, I'm not going to give you that.
Right.
So what
so
do you
he
want?
Said it's not appropriate so, to so, ask so, so, it. So, I think it's appropriate for you to not answer it, but it's appropriate for me to ask it. It's not inappropriate to ask.
Because you just never know. Somebody might give you that, and that makes some guys' careers, right? So you might get some liquid gold, you know, because somebody's agitated. Playoffs.
Yeah.
They are who we thought they were.
See?
All that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he, what he
can't
saying,
wait.
What he's saying is, I'm not that dude.
Yeah, which
I'm
is fine.
Dude you don't get it from.
But don't say it was inappropriate time to ask, because when you're a reporter, there is no inappropriate time to ask. You're asking it.
Well, right after losing, you know what I mean? That's like, okay, this is bad.
Then don't.
Okay.
Don't. All right. Yeah, it's let it go. A couple more things here. So Niners-Packers is the matchup this weekend, divisional round.
I'll tell you what I was going to say.
You're going to do it anyway.
I'll tell you what I was going to say during the break, and you tell me if I should say it.
Fair point.
All right.
We could always come back to it.
See what happens? It's not appropriate for me to say it.
Nick Bosa talking about what the Packers are right now versus what they used to be.
What Kyle talks about is the whole team has improved throughout the entire season. They've gotten a lot of guys healthy, and they have a lot of the same guys from the past really good teams they've had, and a quarterback who does exactly what he's coached to do, which Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and unbelievable, but he kind of went outside of the realm of coaching, and sometimes it's good when you have a guy who does what he's coached to do.
Is that a shot at Rodgers?
No, he's basically saying when you have a guy that you're supposed to, then we know how to defend it. Aaron Rodgers was more difficult because he'll go outside of the X and O's and what the play's supposed to.
He was saying that sometimes it's better when the quarterback does what he's told.
No, I think what he's saying is that he expects to kick that ass because they're going to go when he wants to cover three. We know, okay, he's going to throw the ball out top to the opposite, the down safety.
No, I get it. I don't know if he was referring to defense as he was. Why are they good? They got better, and the quarterback does what he's told. That's why sometimes it goes better that way. Well, anyways, I guess you're not seeing it the way I saw it.
Yeah.
Just because we're late here. Last but not least, Odell Beckham Jr. on the Punchline podcast.
Yeah, I hate when they
these type of things.
Talking about what could have been.
I was set to go back to New York and be a Jet.
Really?
I remember getting a call over the weekend. They were like, hey, this is the Ravens, right? This is our offer. What is it going to take for you to not take that visit?
They said,
if you do get on that plane, like, just know that the offer is off the table.
Ooh.
And I was like, can you give me 20 hours to, like, talk to my people?
I like how the Ravens talk business.
I liked it, too.
Come on now.
My heart desired to be in New York again, to be able to, you know, whether there's marketing money, you know, the Jets, and it's kind of like, you know, I even had the number picked out. I'm DMing the punter or whoever it was at the time, like, hey, let me buy that off you.
Wait, what number was that?
Maybe number five.
Five? Man, Morstead.
Or what's the other? No, 17.
No, number five. Garrett was 17.
Yeah, number five.
Yeah, whatever. Well, the bottom line is,
what was Odell Beckham number when he was here?
Wasn't he 13?
Yeah, he was.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Yeah, that's available.
Well, anyways.
Yeah, I hate that.
But no, it's not even that. It's that they told him, if you go visit, the offer's gone. And then he just took
of course
the offer.
Say that. Yeah, he was like, man, money on the wood make the bet good.
Would that have made a difference, Odell? If even with the injuries, if you had him with Garrett, would that have been a...
He's not the player that we thought he was going to be.
Right.
So, like, he's basically the third receiver with them. He hasn't had a great season with
them.
So
it's not like that would have helped matters.
Yeah, his numbers are blah.
Okay.
So now you would have had Allen Lazard, then him. Then you would have been pissed because you couldn't cut him because you paid him $15, $16 million.
And that is Audio File. ESPN New York presents An Evening with Garrett Wilson, hosted by us, Barton Hahn. It's an intimate event at the Big Apple.
Is that time and a half?
I think we do get bonus, right? At least a bonus. With the Jets star wide receiver. For your chance to score passes to this exclusive event, it includes food and beverage. That's nice to know. We're getting fed.
Wait, what type of food? It better not be hot dogs and chicken tenders.
Could be. Go to ESPNNewYork.com, or you can find the contest page, of course, on the ESPN New York app that you have on your phone, and then you just submit your entry. It's An Evening with Garrett Wilson and also us, Barton Hahn. It's brought to you by Corona and Sansone Auto Mall. We have calls to get to at 800-919-3776, and Rex Ryan will join us at 2 o'clock. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, let's grab some calls here at 800-919-3776. We got a lot to get to. Rex Ryan's going to join us in the Power Hour, so we also have that coming up.
I love the Power Hour.
Yes, he does, and you love it too, so stay with us for that. But let's get some calls. Brett in New Brunswick. Brett.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Just want to jump in on the Tibbs conversation, and then I got a quick question for you about moves this summer.
Okay.
I think Tibbs is undeniably a top 8 or 9, 10 coach in the league, and I think it would be silly, like Bart said, to move away from a coach that you built a team around and to mess with his philosophy. And for you, Alan, I was just wondering who you think the most likely candidates are for the Knicks to target for big game hunting over the summer.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. Right now, of course, because we don't know what names could shake free, you know, and I can't predict that because you've got to see how the rest of the season plays out and the playoffs play out. But there's always a summer where there's a name you did not expect suddenly becoming disgruntled, wants out, or a team not happy with him, or any of that stuff. And then suddenly you're like, wow, do we have the assets to get that guy, right? It just happens all the time. But one name that I think you should keep an eye on is Karl-Anthony Towns. And mainly because, and I think Wendy has told this story before, there are going to be teams that need to get under what's going to be a new tax threshold where the penalties are a lot higher. And you're going to have contracts and you're going to say, well, we don't want to keep paying this extra luxury tax. And so you're going to want to unload a contract. And because Anthony Edwards has really emerged as their main guy, they might want to move on from the contract of Karl-Anthony Towns. And you know there's already a built-in relationship there, him and Tibbs, him and Leon Rose. It's all just there. And he's from this area.
But
it just feels like that's one that if there's something that could happen, that's a name that, you know, would probably be on my radar.
But tell me this. Is that team better with Karl-Anthony Towns minus Rudy Gobert? But nobody will take Rudy Gobert because nobody would take that contract that he has?
I think they like Rudy Gobert and what he can do defensively. I think they feel like you could put Naz Reid, or if you put Julius Randle there. You know what I mean? And Randle is much cheaper.
So that's what it'd be?
I don't know. No. I'm not saying the trade is that.
Heard it here first.
Oh, will you stop? Get me in trouble.
Allen Hahn has said that Julius
Randle. No, I did not. And you, no.
The new big three.
You will get me in trouble, and then you'll be stuck with me forever.
The new big two.
All right.
And a half.
Okay. Jose in Brooklyn, Jose.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Shout out to the company. I definitely wanted to chime in on the Tibbs conversation because I do agree with you, Alan. I do think he is a good coach. He, like the previous caller said, he's definitely top 10. And like you said, Bart, when you kind of made the investment, you pretty much traded a couple of young assets and to pretty much double down on his identity, you can't really just, you know, change course. My concern is I'm not, you know, being a noncommittal person. I'm a person that I'm not married to the idea of, you know, not looking if there aren't any better options, you know, through the rankings because, you know, even though the call screener did bring up that Toronto did trade for Kawhi, you know, Yasai Majiri did take a lot of heat for firing a coach of the year winner in Dwayne Casey and hiring Nick Nurse. So it's something that, you know, it is something that I hope that Leon Rose, you know, down the line, not in the immediate future, but in the future, if that question does come to case, that it is an open-minded decision in the future. As far as, you know, where they're at, I think they're doing well. So hopefully they'll continue what they're doing, but I'm still seeing a lot of the problems that were even before pre-trade. So hopefully we'll work that out.
A lot of that didn't make sense. I mean, okay, I'm happy with him, but I hope if there's time to fire him, you do. That I don't understand. And then the problems pre-trade, what problems? Their offense is better than it was before the trade. Defense is better than it was before the trade. What problems? They have top 10 in offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating. Top 10. And one of the best 10 teams in the league.
Yeah.
But problems are still there. Knicks fans, you know, again, Jose calls all the time. The Knicks fans are just, they need to be miserable to be happy. That's all it is. Elliot and Comac. Elliot.
Ask them, do they vote, first of all? Why are you calling in here talking
about
they won't care about
Jalen Brunson still sixth in voting. Julius Randle down to ninth in voting. Banchero jumped over him. So, yeah, there's that. Elliot, what's up?
So, first of all, when you were talking about coaches who were allowed to coach out their contracts before, you left out Barry Trotz, won a Stanley Cup with the Capitals, yeah, and then said, see ya.
Yeah, that was a mistake there. And how about the mistake the Islanders made letting him go? Because did you talk about a standard?
Oh, yeah.
There's your example, Knicks fans, by the way. I know Knicks fans probably don't pay attention to the Islanders, but if you want to know what life after Tibbs will look like, look at the Islanders.
Right there.
The standard
right
disappeared.
There.
It's a country club over there right now, and it's embarrassing what's going on. But nobody watches and cares. Nobody puts a lot of effort into the Islanders. But I'm telling you, it's a country club there, and that's what happens when you remove the head coach who sets a standard. There, I'm done. Go ahead, Elliot.
Who's the Islanders? Mm-hmm.
And as far as the people who have their problems with Tibbs go, you guys are plugging the betting apps all the time. Let them get on the betting apps. put some money on the under on Knicks games. They'll make money because the Knicks play defense, and then they'll love tips.
Yeah, you're right, because he'll make you money, right? Is that what you're saying? Let's focus on that
that's
part.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And, yeah. and the one criticism that I keep hearing about is, and you guys were talking about it last week, week before, whatever it was, about the Knicks not being able to get a star here. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that maybe the fact that the team is so bought in to Tibbs' style and committed to playing defense the way he wants is because there's no star mentality around and nobody thinks they're too big a star to play defense?
Yeah,
I mean, DeJounte Murray is a guy that came up with Kawhi and Spurs. So
well, no,
that may not be a superstar, but that's a star, Bill.
Yeah, but that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that, look, there's some teams that if the star player is the one that's like, you take, again, look at the Nets when they had Kyrie and KD. Kyrie just wouldn't play. Kyrie would do his own thing. So if one guy can do whatever he wants, how can you hold everybody else to a standard when the star can't be held to that standard? And that becomes troublesome.
Okay.
But what you have is Jalen Brunson.
Total buy-in.
Who is all – right. And Julius Randle is, for the most part, total buy-in when it comes to availability and all that stuff. Like, you have guys who understand that, well, if he's going to play, I can't take a night off. I can't just be a guy that's like, yeah, I'm going to sit tonight. But if you have guys that do that, of course everybody else is going to feel they're entitled to do the same. One more real quick, Sean in Long Island. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, Ron? I just wanted to comment on the Tibbs coaching situation.
Yeah.
I feel that Tibbs he wasn't our coach. He's just an old-school coach.
Right.
So he overplays player, and by the time playoff comes, Brunson and Randle was burned out. Because Tibbs is stubborn. He's like an old-school coach.
Right.
You know, so, like, I had a coach.
Right. Sean, let me ask you, Sean.
Yeah.
Did anyone that LeBron played for, did they play him too much?
No.
No, they always played him.
But he's the one of one.
He always just told me he's the greatest. It's one example. It's the fact that you play your best players more towards the end of the season, and then you play them a ton in the playoffs. That's what you do.
But
you play your best. Look at the top 20 minutes played per game. It's all the best players in the league. You play your best players, Sean.
Jokic.
That's what you do. Yes. They all play. You play your best players.
Jamal Murray.
Because I can't win if I play my bad players.
Ben Carroll.
Yes. Look at them.
Kawhi.
Look at them all. And Kawhi just takes games off. Although this year he's not doing that. You know, let's ask Rex what he thinks of this stuff. Because I find that stuff amazing. You overplay your players. Well, but you know what? I don't want to play guys who suck.
But we used to have 30 and over club. But football is different because you play once a week. So we have 30 and over club. So sometimes they'll be like, hey, take Wednesday off. Like,
well, that's
you don't practice.
Practice during the week. We're talking about practice.
Well,
I'm talking about the game.
Well,
you're talking practice?
Well,
you're talking practice.
Well,
I'm talking a game.
Well, pros don't practice. So games take the place of practice.
800-919-3776. I want to talk to
Damn,
Rex about
are
this
we not
more.
Selling? I ain't got no reads.
No, you don't.
Damn.
Rex Ryan with us next. Stay with us, Barton Hahn.
We
got
to do better in our sales department.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.